Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahavilyan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So now in this second part of Mahabharata, we're on the battlefield, then now we've come to the point of the Bhagavad Gita. So already then Arjuna's out on the battlefield, he's gone out, he's gone into the middle, he's seen actually he's all there, and now he's not being... Now he's become overwhelmed by this situation. Arjuna dropped to his knees. There was no question of fighting. It had been very different when he faced the Kauravas on Virat's field. At that time, he had no intention of killing them. He had only wanted to teach them a lesson. This time, however, either the Pandavas or the Kauravas would not return home. Tears steamed from his eyes as he revealed his mind to Krishna. O Govinda, I have no desire for a kingdom bereft of my kinsfolk. When I see my teachers, fathers, sons, and so many other near and dear ones standing before me, my thirst for the fight completely deserts me. Even though they may be desiring my death, I cannot possibly think of killing them. O Janardana, I would not slay them even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. I can see no happiness arising from this battle. Sweat covered Arjuna's brow. His breath came in heavy sighs. The sight of old and respected personalities such as Bhishma, Drona, Shalya, and Bahlika, all of whom he loved dearly, filled him with grief. The many young princes, sons of the Kauravas and their allies, were all his own sons, and he felt compassion for them too. Even Dhritarashtra's sons were pitiable because they were so foolish. How could there be any virtue in killing them? Arjuna implored Krishna, "In my opinion, we will be overcome by sin if we slay such aggressors. A proper duty is surely to forgive them, even if they have lost sight of virtue due to greed. We ourselves should not forget religious principles in the same way. If we kill the learned family elders, the traditional rituals will be forgotten, and they are essential for religious life. Without tradition, the whole of society will gradually become godless. By slaying the men, we will leave the women unprotected. They will then be prey to sinful men, and unwanted children will be born. Who will train these children? O Krishna, I will be responsible for all these social anomalies and be worthy of a permanent residence in hell." Remembering his moral training, Arjuna based his arguments on Vedic statements. It seemed to him that killing his relatives was clearly immoral, particularly killing his elders, who were responsible for maintaining the religious traditions in his dynasty. Surely they should never be killed, especially for the dubious cause of winning wealth and kingdoms. Arjuna wept. "I would rather the Kauravas kill me unarmed and unresisting than raise my weapons against them for the sake of my own happiness." He threw down his weapons and slumped in his chariot. Krishna was still smiling as he looked at his grief-stricken friend. This was an uncharacteristic display of timidity from such a fearsome warrior. He replied to Arjuna firmly, "How have these impurities come upon you at such a critical time, Arjuna? This is not all befitting a man who understands life's true values. It leads not to higher planets, but to degradation and infamy. O son of Kunti, do not yield to such impotence. It is quite unbecoming. Give up this petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of enemies." So you see, as Arjuna is seeing all this, and if you look at it on the material platform, you know, the aspect of the mode of goodness, then he's speaking, you know, very nice things. You know, he's talking about nonviolence and everything like that. And so these are, good things in the way of, he's worrying about the religious principles. He's worrying about all these things. And so in that case, it's nice. But the presentation of this is being presented from the viewpoint of someone who's, you know, in mundane consciousness, right? So that the opportunities of this Bhagavad Gita can be spoken for our benefit. Then now it's being spoken again to Arjuna. Like we heard before, Krishna will say later in the Gita, he spoke this all to the sun god, and it's come down the line, but it's been forgotten now. That's why we're in this situation. The people aren't acting according to the Bhagavad Gita. So one may say, oh, no, but he's doing something very nice. But he's talking about religious principles. But the difficulty comes is that religious principles, then the basis of that is performance of one's duty. He is a Kshatriya when it comes time for battle. They're supposed to fight. And so it doesn't matter in here that there's relatives or not. If it's an appropriate fight, then it has to happen. This is just the duties of Kshatriyas. Otherwise, if they don't fight, then how will anybody be properly protected? How will anybody have faith in their words that they will do what they say? You know, if they get all sentimental, then you don't think. You know, otherwise, then, oh, but this criminal this, and oh, but that, and so many things. And so then the whole society breaks down. So he's worried about religious principles, but by not fighting, everything will be destroyed. Because then people don't follow their duties, but he's worried, now if we kill everyone, who will follow their duties? But the point is no. They're following their duties, therefore those after them will then, you know, be inspired to follow their duties. So, you know, from his point of view, he defeats his own argument just on the material platform, right? Let alone now Krishna will reveal the spiritual considerations in all this. Arjuna looked with surprise at Krishna. What could he mean? He had simply dismissed all his arguments. Krishna had never given improper or disastrous advice at any time. He was a personification of all religious principles. Arjuna was perplexed. Why had Krishna disregarded the religious considerations he had raised? He was giving some religious considerations, but it was more to do with what's below sub-religious principles, artha, and specifically niti. Religious principles is as a king has to do his duty. So they start off means in politics you have four aspects. You have sama, where you try to work something out by reconciliation, you know, peace talks. You have how you say dana, where you know buy bribes or buy gifts or you know praise or something that the other party becomes benefited that they might consider your aspect. That doesn't work, then you have beta, which means then you start to create disunion amongst the other parties, you know, so no one's that strong. And then danda, where there's you know, action, there's fight. And so they've already worked with the other ones. And so the only one left is danda. Duryodhana wants it. And so then, you know, it will be had. So he's saying is that, no, but I spoke religious principles. It was only be good, be nice, but how do you define what is good, what is nice? That's the religious principle. So the religious principle means the Kshatriyas has their duties and they have to do their duties. So they tried. They tried to say is, okay, instead of fighting over the full kingdom, you just give us five villages. He won't, Duryodhana won't give that. That means when he says, oh, but then everything will be reduced to irreligion, Duryodhana has been irreligious his whole life and now he's in charge. So if in this short time of him being in power, then he's not even going to consider this. How much more time before he wasn't consider other aspects of Dharma? So the point is Duryodhana and his brother, it's already irreligious. So it's not that they're not living by religion. And so they'll only follow those elements of civilization that they see the benefit in for themselves personally. But they're not looking at the greater benefit. He's not looking at the populace likes Yudhishthir Maharaj and the protection that they'll have and that relation between the king and the citizens. He's not considering that at all. He just wants power. So he's not functioning on the platform of religion anyway. So that's the point of the war, to remove those who are not acting according to their duties, not acting according to the mentality. So that's what it'll be established. So here, Arjuna speaking seemingly on nice things, but how do you establish what's good? Because according to Duryodhana is, he, you know, cheated in the gambling match and he got what he wanted. So he got what he wanted. That's good. He doesn't see he did anything wrong. The only thing wrong that he probably feels is they didn't get rid of the Pandava sooner. But he doesn't consider he did anything wrong. So for him, it's what's good for me is good. What's not good for me is bad. So that's why then Shastra is there, Dharma is there, and it says what is the definition of good according to what's going to be useful for the society progressing forward in developing their God consciousness. Because he's talking about here the bodies. right? Because they're related by the body. But the souls, they're all related with God. And everyone's relationship with each other is based on their relationship with God. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say you have a father and then so many sons. The son's relationship with each other is based on their being the son of their father. You could say, no, they have their own relationships. The relationship's based on that both the all being coming from the same father. That's the basis of further. Then they have nice relationships. So the same way for the souls, understanding that they all come from the Supreme Lord. That basis, then that becomes what then all living entities can interact on. Because then they know that they're following this and they're following the direction of the Supreme Authority. You know, so if there's a common father between all living entities, then you're going to deal with each other as brothers. And so that's the actual position. From that, if you want people to behave in a brotherly way, based on the bodily platform, and even based on Dharma, what's to keep it from going off track, that somebody becomes self-centered? Therefore, we see here is that Krishna is going to be explaining about that the living entities have to look at things not from the bodily platform, but from the spiritual platform. Then you have a common point. Then you have actual peace, and you don't have war. But this other is that you don't fight now, something else will happen. How many times has the fighting gone on? And who is it started by? Always by Duryodhana. So he's always been after. He's already tried to kill them, you know, before. And going out, he's spent his whole life just harassing the Pandavas. It's like his, you know, his primary occupational duty. Right? You know, his father can kind of like deal with administrative stuff, but you know, his duty is just seeing that he's in power and the Pandavas are not. So there's no religious principles here. You know, he follows some external things, the etiquettes and that, but even that, you see, he doesn't respect his elders, he doesn't respect the sages, he doesn't respect anybody who doesn't fully support his own idea, which is for his own benefit. So naturally, who can support that? So we're dealing with an irreligious environment. And even on the material platform, even the best idea still doesn't work because people are identifying with the body, the externals. And there's always going to be a difference there. But if we're looking at it from the soul, all souls have the same basis, right? They're all, you know, they all have the same element and potency. They have different uniqueness in their individuality as persons. But the point is you have the same, that equalness between all the living entities. And then you have the common relationship based on the relationship with the Supreme Lord. And so that's the only way you can actually establish any kind of stability in society, is by that common point of God consciousness. Anything else you can say, no, but he can do this, he can do that, is we have to remember that all these philosophies we talk about now, these, you know, the modern philosophies, they go back thousands of years. The Greeks had democracy. And already it was being pointed out by Socrates, it's already a problem then, right? You know, so all these different things, they've all been tried, you know, from, you know, dictatorships to, you know, communism to the socialism to all these different things, or having no rules and everyone just agreeing together. And everything's been tried. You have your communes, you have this, that. Where are they? How did they last? So it doesn't. So that's the whole point, is what you see from the Mahabharata and from the Bhagavatam and the Puranic Vedic literatures. Then those following the Vedic cultures, they had those characters. And those society had those characteristics. And it's only we see is when somebody deviates from that the problems start. And so therefore, if there's God consciousness, then you're going to be able to have things work. And if you leave that, you can say, no, but so many religious people, there's so many fights going on because they identify with the body. They're not identifying with the soul. That's the problem. Right? Just like the example, you have God. There's one God. And so then, but they're all fighting because they say, your God's different from my God. But if they all say God is one, it's the same person. You know, it's like the sun as it crosses over our heads going from the east to the west. Then, you know, it crosses over here. Can we say it's the Indian sun? And then it goes over next, now it becomes the Pakistani sun, or the Afghani sun, or the Iranian sun, you know, like this, you know, then it keeps going, then it becomes the, you know, the Egyptian sun, and then it, keeps going, and now it's the Mexican sun, or, you know, wherever you are, you're going to see the sun. So can you claim it's my sun and it's a different sun? The sun here is different from the sun there. No, so therefore, they're not functioning on the spiritual platform, literally. Because if there's, you know, if they're all saying there's one God, there's only one God. And all souls are coming from that one God, therefore all souls are brothers. So then, just because there's difference in uniqueness of personality or time, place, the country and all that, and now they're ready to kill each other, but if all of it goes back and connects to God, that's the common point. So that's the difficulty that's coming up, is that even though it appears in the initial looking at it that Arjuna is speaking nonviolence and it's very good, he's actually speaking irreligion. And his so-called religious points that he's making can't be maintained because there is no spiritual platform, because the souls are spiritual, the bodies are material. So the base your philosophies and your social structures and your economics and everything on the bodily platform is not sustainable. What we do see is the common points is the eternal laws of nature, which are the laws of God. You follow those, they work. But that's the point. When you follow the connection with God, then it works. Like economics, you buy something for less than you sell it for, right? I buy something for 10 rupees, I sell it for 20 rupees, I make profit. If I buy something for 10 rupees and sell it for 2 rupees, I lose money. It's an eternal rule. You come back after 1,000 years, it still stands. And if you look in history, that's what everybody was doing, you know? So everyone's looking for something that people want, or, you know, ideally need, but at least want, and that they're willing to pay how much it costs you, how much it costs for, you know, to get it to them, and then some extra for your profit. And so this has been going on eternally. So these are the points. These are eternal rules. You follow them, they work, like gravity. You don't let go of the brick when you're holding it in your hand. It does not drop and hit your toes. You know, it's an eternal law. So that's the difficulty that will come up, is that anytime we try to find a solution based on the external environment only, it means you have to apply the spiritual into the external environment. But if you just use the considerations, everybody has their own idea of what's good, what's nice, you know? And so that's the whole point, is that we'll say it's one thing, but the reality of how it works, that's another. Why had Krishna disregarded the religious considerations he had raised? Right? First of all, they weren't. He did really raise them about respecting elders and this and that. That's there. But he's leaving out, and that will be described in the first chapters of Manu. But what about the later chapters when he's talking about a Kshatriya's dharma? That's not described there. So he's putting it out of context. He's saying it's religious, but he's applying a different rule that doesn't apply to the situation he's discussing. Of course, for a Kshatriya, it was always religious to fight and check miscreants. But these were not ordinary wrongdoers. Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and so many others were highly respectable men who carefully followed their religious duties. Yes, but they're all supporting a highly irreligious man. And they're willing to stake their life on protecting that irreligious man. So then if somebody's stealing and you help them steal, then you are aiding and abetting the stealing. Like that. So here they're directly supporting the most, basically you could say, the most irreligious man on the planet. You know, of course, it's the past. It's the these various pastimes, how they come out. That's another thing. But the point being is that his points don't hold water, really. They sound nice. They're sentimental. So if you have philosophy without religion, you'll get speculation. But if you have religion without philosophy, you'll get sentiment. So Arjuna is presenting religion without philosophy. So it's just sentimental. Okay, so we'll see then what Arjuna's next point is to Krishna. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya.